SBS Radio.
Roj Ahmedi, writer, editor, and strategist, also a refugee advocate. Thank you so much for joining us today here at SBS Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Today we particularly wanted to discuss Australia's current refugee policy and your thoughts on that.
I think in shaping and understanding this framework, the best thing to assert and comprehend is that there's a huge difference between refugees that are accepted through humanitarian visas and then detainees in our detention centres. But ultimately, they are going through the same paths of requesting assistance in times of great violence, trauma and a lack of safety.
If we start with the thousands of maritime arrivals and asylum seekers that are in Nauru and Manus Island, as well as the ones that are already in Australia, what about the new deadline that's given by the government for the asylum seekers to apply for refugee status? I mean, the deadline is 4 months, but how is this fair since some of these asylum seekers were given as long as 5 years to apply for refugee status?
Exactly. Those 5 years were marred with death of people who were under our care and under our custody, even by way of private institutions, that security institutions that are supposed to have duty of care for these people. But it's also been affected by a lack of transparency and a lot of money spent pretty much torturing people. And the whole intent when I talk to people on Manus and Nauru in my various activities is that people are actively denied their humanity and denied any due process. And it is a way of making all of these people detained on our detention centres, both on our shores and offshore in Manus and Nauru. It is an attempt to dehumanise them and to break them and also make them an example for anyone else considering the various options to seek safety. And so Dutton last Sunday afternoon declared that about 7,000 people have to lodge their refugee applications by the 1st of October. Now, there is no access to legal assistance. The forms are incredibly complicated, and one document for an entire family could go for about 180 pages. It's quite complex, and you have to clearly detail every experience of trauma. And when we understand people who have experienced trauma, there are a lot of issues with memory loss, repression, and other things involved in PTSD and other mental health concerns, which are only compounded by the experiences in our detention centres.
The government praised themselves and the policies, especially of offshore detention, that it has stopped the boats, it has stopped people dying at sea. But how about the consequences and those who have paid for this policy?
So a perfect example that I always bring up in advocating against this process is to point out how many billions of dollars we have used and we have paid private security firms to basically destroy the hopes and humanity of people who have merely asked for assistance. And a great solution that would actually undermine the black market trading or the black market industry of boat arrivals, if you want to call it that, is to actually set up regional processing centres through the UNHCR and various other multilateral organisations that actually support people to apply for refugee status. Now, when we actually look at any economic and market forces and how people interact with their world, ultimately, if you are in danger, you will take any opportunity that is feasible for you to seek safety. And so if there are no feasible options, you can see this through all the refugee crisis throughout history, including in the post-World War II context, people will take any opportunity to seek safety. And there is always elements of every form of seeking that safety or running away from violence and war, there are always elements where you are trying to gain assistance in any way possible out of sheer desperation. So a better option than spending millions of billions of dollars for private security firms to undermine the security and safety of thousands of people is to work with our regional partners, build these multilateral agreements and create regional processing centres. And I really advocate for this because a lot of these conflicts are due to our own foreign policies and our own military policies here in Australia. And as a consequence of the power vacuums that we see throughout regions such as the Middle East, people are facing this violence and they have absolutely every right to run away from that and seek some sense of stability and safety.
And let's talk about the humanitarian intake, the 12,000 extra refugees as a response to the crisis in Iraq and Syria by the Australian government. How generous do you think you are? How much more can Australia do? I mean, we can compare this to Canada, for example, or some of the European countries such as Germany. How generous is Australia's intake?
I think generally the 12,000 figure is relatively not very generous. If you look through the west of the Middle East, there are various countries that are supporting millions of refugees, and that we need to have a global perspective. If we're going to be acting on a global scale, we need to understand the consequences on a global scale as well. I think generally speaking, yes, sure, we should understand how much we can adequately support people. But the dialogue around the 12,000 intake, one, in my last understanding of the 12,000 figure, 12,000 individuals that would be supported to access humanitarian visas to Australia, I don't think that we have reached that number. And the discussion has been around only supporting those people who the Australian government deem worthy, which are often people who are not in minoritized ethnic groups, who are often in most danger in these circumstances, and also people with particular religious backgrounds, so Christians over Muslims, and those sorts of things. And I think that creates a hierarchy of need that shouldn't be there. And we should be supporting people and understanding that they are coming from deep turmoil and supporting them on a humanitarian and global perspective.
Sean, you understand that yourself as being from a refugee background.
Being Kurdish and understanding how ethnic minorities throughout particular regions who are experiencing conflict, I can understand how it's very difficult to access even systems put in place by the UN, that these processing centres can be influenced by the regional perspective towards particular ethnic minorities, and they can be prevented from accessing support, help, or applying for even exit visas to even apply for safety in other countries. And by understanding those nuances and the way that it's not so cut and clear, I abhor systems that create hierarchies of need based on politics rather than actual and needs-based process.
Well, Aroj Ahmedi, writer, editor, strategist and refugee advocate, thank you very much for your time and all the insight you shared with us here at SBS Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
لگل SBS رادیو بشی کردین.